introduce yourself and give your name and title.
Okay. My name is Jim Duffy, and I'm a pediatrician. I've recently been medical director or chief medical officer of Rocking Horse Community Health Center in Springfield. I am constrained. I'm restrained from speaking about the details of the separation, but I have separated from Rocking Horse. I am no longer employed, and I don't anticipate having any future with Rocking Horse Center.
Tell me about the Rocking Horse Center itself. It was your vision. You're the founder. I think most people are struggling with the fact that that was your vision, that you were no longer a part of it. What can you speak to about that?
Well, Rocking Horse started, you know, about 14 years ago, and we were it's a very small program, but it was a very innovative program. We actually won a number of awards with our health delivery model, both providing integrated behavioral health on-site with therapists and eventually child psychiatrists, but also a number of family support services, including on-site Medicaid eligibility and a home visitor, a developmentally oriented pediatric program with extended well-child visits and early literacy activities. It was a nonprofit. It is a nonprofit now, but it's it was a nonprofit then that enjoyed a tremendous amount of public support and community support in Springfield, both with volunteerism and donations. Early on, we raised a fair amount of money to provide what we refer to as enhanced pediatric care for children and families, particularly families who are underserved. The mission has always been that we were dedicated to providing a medical home for all children, regardless of their ability to pay, with particular emphasis on the underserved and children who were otherwise marginalized in the medical community. We grew probably too rapidly for our own good. We were about eight or nine employees. I was the only doctor for 15 months, we grew from 9 employees, and now we have about 105 employees, and we do about 60,000 visits a year. And in somewhere about halfway through our history, we became a federally qualified health center, which means that we expanded to adults and obstetrics, and so we provide care for family-centered care, and provide that particularly for low-income families in Springfield. That said, in the midst of the growth, some of the enhanced care was left behind, and I think that one of the themes that led to some of my disagreements with the board is the movement towards a more corporate style of rendering medicine versus a more humanistic style. And this is not particularly a Rocking Horse. This is something that's nationwide as doctors become employees and medicine becomes industrialized. The doctor-patient relationship is sometimes left behind or at least degraded. And those were some of the issues that I had conflicted somewhat in the past year or two.
Now, with CEO Dana Engel moving along, talk a little bit about how that in the structure of an organization can affect employment, and also talk about you're a doctor, you're an employee, you have responsibilities to your patients as their care provider. How has all of those relationships been affected?
Well, the first, there's a lot of questions in there, and the first is that again, I'll have to speak generally about doctors and employees and all corporations and the way corporations work,
sure,
rather than the specifics. And that I would say fairly that when a CEO leaves, many times that's a period of time in which the boards of nonprofits have to reassess their direction, and sometimes they decide to move in a different direction. When they have to think in terms of a strategic plan and what sort of person do they want in charge in the next phase of the organization. And so in many organizations, that's a time when some employees are found to be not aligned with the with what the board thinks about is the future direction of the organization. So it's not uncommon that even important employees would leave, let's say, at the time that a CEO leaves, so that the board, the nonprofit board, can decide about the direction of the future and what sort of person is that they want to have lead the organization, and then particularly with what's referred to as founder's transition. Sometimes it's a lot easier for that direction to be taken if the founder's not there. In other words, the founder exerts a lot of natural authority, and if the founder is there, then there's sometimes the potential for a conflict in authority. Now, the other question that you ask is a really important one, and that is what happens when medicine becomes more industrialized, a more corporate style of medicine, what happens to the doctor-patient relationship? In many, in a hospital, for instance, if a hospital consolidates like Mercy Hospital and Community Hospital did a few years back, many people were redundant, and they were just basically told that they arrived to work on a morning, and they were met with a security guard and taken to the doors and said that you're done working here. And that's how they, in the modern corporation, that's how they handle this kind of downsizing. And the thought is that if a person who knows that their job is coming to an end remains within an organization, it'll be a potential source of conflict. So they handle it precipitously like that. Now, with a doctor-patient relationship, though, the doctors have a doctor-patient relationship, I believe, is still there's a specialness about that. There's a special commitment. There's a special ethical responsibility that's inherent in that relationship, and so when a doctor is treated in that way, if a doctor is told, well, you're no longer a part of this organization and you need to leave, if the doctor is not able to provide continuity of care, or not be able to provide closure with patients. For instance, if a patient is seeing that doctor for psychotherapy, for instance, if they're not able to come to closure, then it seems to me that something very fundamental has been lost and has been threatened by once again the industrialization of medicine or the corporate style of medicine. And I'm making this as general as possible, and you can draw your conclusions about the concerns at Rocking Horse, but this is something that's taking place nationally, and I think probably needs to be discussed more broadly as doctors become employees, and they're treated as employees what happens to the ethical responsibility to provide reasonable notice when a doctor leaves, to provide reasonable continuity of care or continuous care, and referrals or closure if necessary. So these are very, very important issues that I think will come up more and more as doctors become employees.
Well, I think it's a fascinating landscape to sort of explore. So much is being talked about in healthcare these days, and certainly what you've just discussed, I'm not sure that people are aware of, and I think that they should be aware of. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are about your future, about the people who are employed at Rocking Horse, the people who bring their kids there, who say they will follow you anywhere. Can you talk about what's next for you, and what about those folks who want to know if they can continue to follow you where you may go next?
Well, in order to do that, indulge me a little bit of if I should go back in time slightly, because I mentioned to you earlier that I went to Antioch College before the student strike. I started in 67, and I was out for a little while with anti-war activities, and then came back and graduated in 74 and left for medical school. My experience with this region, brought me back here, and I've always been sort of amused in some ways and confused in other ways that people should feel like they need to go to El Salvador or Mozambique to do mission trips when the suffering and poverty is right down the road. And so I came back and I committed myself to care for the underserved children in Clark County and particularly the southwest quadrant of Springfield, and that's where the idea of Rocking Horse developed in 1998, And my commitment to the community remains the same. That's what I'll be exploring. Now, I can't say in particular what my plans are at this point. It's premature, but I've in talks with a number of people about the idea of having another service operation in Springfield. I'm not certain what that'll look like, whether it'll be a general pediatrics practice or whether it'll be focused towards the developmental and behavioral pediatrics. Some particular populations that I've concentrated on and I have a fair amount of expertise are children who have been exposed to trauma, physical abuse and sexual abuse, and the other population is a similar population of children in foster care, and it may very well be that I can at least my time or my focus will be on those special populations and maybe expanded to children with other special health care needs with complicated medical problems. It'll be something that I'm looking at. I suspect it'll be a few months before I can get a project together, and it may not happen in Springfield. It may not be possible. I don't necessarily want to be in competition with Rocking Horse. I do want Rocking Horse to survive this. Insult that's happened to it over the past few weeks. I'm sorry to say that Rocking Horse has lost some goodwill of the community, and I hope it continues its mission. And so I don't want to be in competition with Rocking Horse. On the other hand, there are some programs and particular special populations that I know will not be cared for particularly well at Rocking Horse under the current situation. And those are, again, the kids with, for instance, autistic spectrum disorder, kids with intellectual disabilities and behavioral problems, and children in foster care and children exposed to trauma. These special populations could be served well in a different setting, and I think I could put together a multidisciplinary team to do a very good job to address those populations. So it's not to be in competition either with pediatric associates or with Rocking Horse, but to actually enhance the overall healthcare delivery of to children in Springfield.
Is Rocking Horse poised to survive? Does the governing board have a plan?
Rocking Horse, I think the Affordable Care Act is going to be very kind to Rocking Horse. Already has been. With Governor Kasich expanding Medicaid, as long as it continues on track to expand the 1st of January, and if the healthcare exchanges or the marketplaces are successful, it's very likely that that the adult services will be much more self-sustaining, let's put it that way. Right now, the adult services are somewhere around 35, maybe 40% self-pay. In other words, people who don't have any insurance. And so that the it's difficult to maintain financial viability under that circumstance. With probably a couple of thousand more people on Medicaid or with health insurance through the exchanges or the marketplaces, Rocking Horse will be in a stronger fiscal situation if they can continue with less local donations, perhaps, or less pediatric service. So, yes, I think that the timing is good for them, that they will be able to be fiscally sound, but with a different revenue stream, particularly related to the Affordable Care Act.
Is there any conflict that you can discuss that you've had with any of the board members, or is it just something that you're not able to discuss?
Right, I'm not able to discuss that. So I'm restricted from saying anything about that.
Talk about the parents and the kids that have really supported you through this ordeal.
Yeah, that just breaks my heart. I see the children. I've been blessed over my career. I'm not even certain exactly why, but children trust me immediately, and I have kids that I've raised from birth, and now have children that they bring to me. I've been in practice just that long, and I certainly have some young children that, they were young in the early 90s. But they were maybe 9 or 10 then, now are in their 30s, and they have children. So, and the length of time, I mean, I've been involved with so many families. Pediatricians in general, I would say, if you look at medical specialties, there's just no other medical specialty that you can get a group of the specialists in a room, and they could all agree that they just love their patients. There's not that. And you don't see internists say that or even the emergency room doctors. You just don't see that. But with pediatricians, I thrived with the kids that would just run up to me and give me a hug in the hallway and be happy to see me. And it just helped me tremendously over the years to create a program which kids really, they actually wanted to come to the doctor, many of them. They wanted to come to Rocking Horse because it was such a compassionate and welcoming atmosphere. So I missed that terribly. I have confidence that the parents will seek out care. Maybe, and I am in contact from time to time with the care coordinators and nurses at Rocking Horse. Although I'm restricted somewhat by the fact that I'm no longer an employee, I can make suggestions about recommendations of where to find specialty care, for instance, in Columbus or Dayton. We have difficulty with transportation, but at least we can find some care for the kids in the special populations that I've been caring for. I miss them terribly. I'm very distressed by the fact that I can't provide the continuity of care that I feel that I'm ethically responsible for. But again, I'm constrained from talking about some of that any more directly than I have.
Sure. Well, Jim, thank you for spending time talking about your vision there and the events that have unfolded, and certainly appreciate your time in sharing the details with us.
Well, thank you for asking me, and I hope that you do follow along, and this is something that affects the healthcare and affects the health of the community in Springfield.